is my old friend. I've come to talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs and voices never shared. And no one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms and I might reach you. But my
folks, and thank you for joining us here on Monday, the 23rd of January, 2023. We are coming to you live here from Republic Broadcasting Network. I am your guest host, Maggie Rose, and I am filling in for Jeffrey Bennett on Mondays and Fridays. He's still with you Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, but I'll be filling in for him for at least another month or so here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, one of the things that some people have been writing to me about, and they've asked me to see if I could bring up some more information regarding what is actually happening out there regarding the results of some of these vaccinations, they call them. I call them inoculations that have been taking place. And I think it's very important that people do understand that there is an awful lot of knowledge out there that they're trying to suppress. They're trying to keep us from being able to get the information out to you. There is a censoring going on the internet. You're all very much aware of this fact. And one of the things that happened to me the other day, because I personally tried to put some information on one of my three Facebook, and I hate Facebook. I was basically bullied into it by some people a few years ago. And I'm not one to be bullied very easily. But then I had listeners come to me and said, well, Maggie, you know, sometimes we forget about that you're going to be doing a show, or we get busy with our lives. And if you put something on Facebook, we know to patch in right away. So for about the last 3 years or better than, I have been putting more things up on Facebook, but I really wish I could get rid of Facebook completely and entirely. And actually, I'm starting to migrate more over to what we call Truth Social, because there you don't get censored, you don't get shadow banned, and you don't get put in Facebook jail, so to speak, like has been happening to so many people on Facebook over the last I'd say the last, definitely last 4 years, the last 3 years has been really bad. So if you want another alternative, please go to Truth Social, download that, and get that on your phone or on your computer or on both. And there's another thing also, there's a 107daily.com. That's the number 107, like 107, daily, like every day, daily with a Y ending.com. That is a site that 107 did not want to put up for a while, but when he saw that President Trump was under such attack, and so many people trying to share their experiences of what the inoculations have done to their family members and friends and neighbors, 107 decided to launch that platform. He has spent millions of dollars, I will say, millions of dollars in trying to launch that platform. So I really strongly encourage you all go over to 107daily.com. Go ahead and register. It is free. Just like Facebook, it is free to use. If you want some of the extra perks that he's added there, then you might have to pay like $1.99 or $2 a month for the extra stuff. But other than that, it is just like Facebook. It basically operates pretty much the same way. And so, again, I strongly encourage you go to www.107daily.com or go to True Social. Those are just two of those that I trust. Many of us have been going to Telegram, but unfortunately we have on Telegram an awful lot of people in there that are trolling, and it makes it kind of difficult. And then, of course, we have some people in our neck of the woods on the West Coast that are women that call themselves conservatives, and but they're control freaks. And they like to control, and they like to determine who can have a right to speak or not to speak. And these women have gotten themselves inserted as administrators for groups like Neighborhood Next Door or the Next Door Neighborhood app. And they've been finding ways to remove people who say anything that goes against their agenda. So again, these women who call themselves conservatives or Republicans, and some of them calling themselves Christians, have actually been going in, and they are acting just like the communist and the tyrannical, you know what's that we have seen going on, the fascism going on in this country. And yet they do it under the guise of being conservative Christians. And they have found ways to be able to ban people who do not follow everything they believe in lockstep and barrel. And so just be careful. I myself was banned from Facebook for 24 hours. They finally allowed me to come back up and post again at about 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time last night. So they gave me a 24-hour punishment. Now, you can ask me, Maggie Rose, go on. Maggie Rose, what is it you did that was so bad to get you banned for 24 hours? Now, I wrote to my girlfriend and told her about it, and she goes, oh, well, I get banned for 30 days at a time. So, you know, and I'm thinking, well, what has she done? I've read what she's written. It's not bad. It's truthful information. And she's stating the facts. And she's got a master's degree in forensic science. She's a military Air Force veteran, and she knows her stuff. But the point is, she's very vocal about it, even more so than I. I've been very careful about how I write things into Facebook. Sometimes I'll put the letter J, capital J, in quotes, and you all know what it means. You know, I'm very careful, but when I try to post certain videos by experts up, then Facebook comes up and said, you are violating the community standards. You are trying to post something that is dangerous and or misleading to the public. Now, sometimes they'll even come up and say, you have this one warning because you're posting something that is only half true. And of course, they're trying to say it's not their algorithms and it's not their AI that's doing it. It's their independent fact checkers. I don't think there's anything in Facebook that is independent. And I don't think their fact checkers are independent, neutral people. I think most of them are very big libtards and very, very liberal, what we call progressives. And I don't see anything progressive about Facebook whatsoever. I don't see anything positive about Facebook other than, you know, once in a while we try to reach out to family and friends. But you have to know that they are data mining all of our information. So everybody that you friend on Facebook, if it's a family member, a relative, an in-law, they are keeping a dossier, so to speak, on every person that uses the social media. That was one of the reasons I didn't want to get into it years ago. And once you're in it, you know, even if you remove your accounts and you choose not to be involved with them anymore, it's too late because, see, Mark Zuckerberg has been working with the CIA and the FBI to create Facebook. For those of you that don't know, Facebook was created and financed by not just Bill Gates, but by the CIA and the FBI, who in numerous occasions have brought Mark Zuckerberg up on stage and rewarded him with all kinds of perks and certificates and all kinds of plaques and everything, congratulating him for the great work he's doing. Well, yeah, we all know what he's been doing. So one of the things that, you know, I wanted to present to you tonight was that, and I have been listening to some very important postings that have been put up. And one of those postings came up, and it had to do with a guy who was a psychologist. He is a psychologist that is in, I think he's in somewhere in Canada. I'm not sure exactly where he is, but he has been involved with a lot of articles. He's written a book and basically talking about some of the things that are going on. And they are now trying to strip him of his license. His name is Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. And so what I want to do is present to you just something that basically was stated by him regarding what is going on. He stood up for the truth. He stood up for free speech. And now they want to strip him of his license. So I want to play that part where he's speaking at an interview because I think it's very important. Here is a psychologist, and he and many other psychologists and medical doctors are trying to take a stand against what they see as a new world order of tyranny and globalism that is destroying Canada and other countries as well. And he's talking, I think, to his daughter at one point. And she's like interviewing him.
The worst thing they can do is suspend my license. It might be reasonable for them to consider not doing this.
Protests have a different kind, but on the same theme. And that is revolving around Dr. Jordan Peterson.
Yeah, well, he wants to be part of this like, creepy little club of psychologists that are just telling people lies anyway.
I really want peace, and so if I have a problem with someone, I want to address it right now, 100%, right to the bottom, to get it the hell out of the way so we don't fight about it for the next 10 years. You know, and your mother and I have conducted our whole relationship with that.
Yep.
You know, we conducted our family life the same way. If we had a bloody problem, we were going to have a discussion about it right now. Yep. And get to the bottom of it and fix it so that we didn't hate each other. And so I don't like, and I never like those conversations. I find them very stressful. I'm too high in negative emotion and too high in agreeableness to enjoy that sort of thing. That's my, you know, the detrimental consequences of my feminine temperament to the degree that I have that. And it's quite the degree, actually. And I suppose that's partly what tilted me towards being a clinician in the first place, right? So, and, you know, it has its advantages because I do feel the pain of other people quite deeply, but that also makes it very hard for me to fight, even though I'll fight when I know the consequences of not fighting is more fighting. Yeah, well, that's a paradox, you know, but it isn't because I enjoy it. And, you know, I tried to let the college know through backdoor channels that it might be reasonable for them to consider not doing this because the consequences of making it public would not be positive for the, in my estimation, for the people involved. And I don't want to bring public pressure to bear on people without necessity because it's very unpleasant to be at the center of that kind of focal attention.
Well, and you shouldn't,
unless you're narcissistic.
You shouldn't bully people, hide behind this pseudo-government organization and pressure people. Even being in Canada is unpleasant now. I feel like the political landscape has ruined the country, and it's because of people who hide behind or just hide in anonymity and pressure other people for being harmful.
Using bureaucracy.
Yeah. So yeah. Whatever. Well, and they're not just bullying you. Like, obviously, we've had other doctors reach out to say that their license is being pressured because of their conservative opinions on Twitter. That's not what these regulatory courts are for.
I talked to one of my great friends this week, a physician, as well as a lawyer, and I suggested that maybe the three of us write an article for the National Post about the state of regulatory bodies in Ontario and in Canada more generally, in the West more generally. But my friend said that, and he's a very brave man and also very, very careful in what he says and does. He said his financial house wasn't in sufficient order to initiate that battle yet. He wants to do it, you know, but he still has. But the point is that even though he's a very brave man and he's made a lot of public statements already, he's intimidated enough by the College of Physicians so that even though he knows that this would be politically effective, he feels that he's not well defended enough yet to take this on fully. And, you know, I can understand that. One of the things that made me able to do this from the beginning when the university came after me was that I had three independent streams of income, right? You know, as a professor, I had a clinical practice and I had a pretty successful business. And so I could lose any two of those without, you know, being destitute and putting my family at risk. And I'm still in that position. Partly why I'm willing to do this publicly, you know, because I don't want this precisely to be about me, because that's just annoying. I want to shed light on the fact that this is on my belief that this is a universal problem of public concern in Canada and elsewhere. And I can do that because the worst thing the college can do to me is, well, the worst thing they can do is suspend my license and make a public statement that because of my refusal to comply with their dictates, I'm no longer acceptable as a licensed clinical psychologist. And I don't want them to do that because I believe that I earned my license and am also a good advocate on the clinical front. I don't want to be in a position where faceless bureaucrats motivated by a political agenda and whatever envy and resentment they carry in their dark and nasty little hearts have the opportunity to strip me of something that I spent a decade of extremely hard work earning. But, you know, if they do strip it from me, well, first of all, that's not going to redound to their credit. Second, I can probably get licensed in a jurisdiction like Florida
That'd be satisfying.
Yeah,
who wants to be part of this creepy little club of psychologists that are just telling people lies anyway? If the entire profession is being forced to not tell their clients the truth, then maybe you should drop that club.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that, Michaela. The bodies that govern the training programs for clinical psychologists in Canada, the Canadian Psychological Association, has increasingly moved to make it mandatory for universities that offer clinical psychology training to do that under the rubric of social justice or face the suspension of the accreditation of their programs. And that's also happening in medicine. Everyone listening, you bloody well better listen to this, people, because we're entering a situation where the universities themselves are required to ensure that your physicians and your psychologists are of a particular political stripe, which essentially means radically left, not just left, but radically left, like social justice, full woke left wing, or the institution itself will not be allowed to train physicians or psychologists. And I know that sounds like a conspiracy theory, and well, go look it up for yourself and see if it's true, because it's true right down to the last word. And so if you Canadians, you think you're going to be served well by craven political ideologues who are primarily selected to be physicians on the basis of their political purity, you've got a bloody another thing coming. That didn't work out so well in Eastern Europe. Let me tell you, it's not going to work out very well for us either. And so part of the reason I'm willing to make this battle public is to try to alert people to the fact that we're a hell of a lot farther down this road than we think.
Now, folks, that was Dr. Jordan B. Peterson, psychologists in Canada, and he and medical doctors are trying to stand up for truth and free speech, and they want to strip him of his license for that, okay? Now, before we go any further, folks, I want to let you know they did have the memorial service for Lisa Presley. That's the daughter and the only child of Elvis Presley. That memorial service was just held. And for those of you that don't know, she was 54 years old. And even though she'd had a past history of substance abuse, she was doing actually very well. And then she went and got the jab and had an immediate heart attack, and they could not save her. So they just had the memorial service, and I wanted to basically play for you. This first person was Joel Windschenker. He was the producer speaking at her service.
Lisa had given many instructions for this day, her desires and wishes, of which I will share with you one. Don't make it sad. Lisa, we will try to honor you and honor your wish today.
Okay. The second person that spoke, Ben Smith Peterson, reports are that he's her son-in-law. He calls her mom or mama, but so I'm not really sure of the relationship, but they listed him as being a son-in-law. And being the fact that I know her only son committed suicide a while back, I know it's not her son, so it must be her son-in-law. This is Ben Smith Peterson.
A letter to my mama. Thank you for being my mother in this life. I am eternally grateful to have spent 33 years with you. I'm certain I chose the best mother for me in this world, and I knew that as far back as I can remember you.
And then we had Sarah Ferguson, who, as you know, is the Duchess of York. She was married to one of the Queen's sons, and then they were divorced a few years later. So this is Sarah Ferguson, the Duchess of York.
My late mother-in-law used to say that nothing can be said can begin to take away the anguish and the pain of these moments, because grief is the price we pay for love.
And last but not least, we have Priscilla Presley. You can barely understand her. You can imagine how she's full of grief right now. This is her only child.
She knew that I loved her. I fear I'll never touch her, but the old soul is always with me. She doesn't drift above. That says it all. And thank you all for being here. Never, your brother, thank you for being here. And the family, of course, and all of you. Our heart is broken, Lisa. We all love you. Thank you.
Now, folks, it's very sad. And we're seeing left and right, there's people with household names that are being memorialized. They're being spoken about. They're being on the news media for having died at the age of 16, the age of 20, the age of 21, the age of 30, the age of 54, way before their time. And if you really look at the common thread with all of these, the majority of them died either within hours of taking a jab or within a couple days of taking the jab. Some of them had taken the first jab and they were fine, other than some of what is reported to be the side effects. And then they would notice after a period of 2 to 3 weeks' time, they were all of a sudden having other physical illnesses and problems. But because of the media, who likes to quote everything the American Medical Association says. And we know the American Medical Association is a corrupt bunch of monsters, along with the CDC and the FDA and the World Health Organization. So the media is going goose step, Hitler style or Chinese style, along with whatever it is that they're being told that they need to put out to the public. Our media like the Republican parties and the Democrat Party, are captured operations. So therefore, when we keep hearing about these people dropping dead after they've taken the second jab, literally people like DeMar, who took the jab on the 26th of December, his own doctor admitted it, and then they took that down from the website and down off of social media and down off the news, so we don't hear that anymore. But I'm telling you, DeMar took a booster, which means it wasn't his first one. And he took that booster on the 26th of December, the day after Christmas, and then went out to the field to play that football game and dropped dead of a heart attack. Now, we are very grateful he's on the road to recovery and that he and his family can see each other and talk to each other again. But folks, I tell you, I'm speaking as a nurse and as a person who lost my father-in-law to two heart attacks within less than a week of each other, and my own mother to seizures and shortness of breath and blood clots before Kaiser decided to euthanize her to make her comfortable, you know, what they call like hospice care or comfort care is the way the Dr. Tanker was calling it. These jabs are causing major deaths across the globe. Stop and think about it a moment. You're not going to hear much about the 20,000 military members who became sterile after the COVID jabs. I'm going to say it again. I served in the military 35 years. I found out midway through that they were experimenting on people. And then to find out they were maybe going to try to experiment on me. 20,000 military members at least, and counting, have become sterile after the COVID jabs. There are 21 reasons that some people won't take the experimental and or killer jabs. What are those 21 reasons? A picture showing a lady with a mask on and she's about to get jabbed by a nurse, and she said, does it provide immunity? And the nurse says, only for the manufacturer. Here's the 21 reasons why some people won't get the vaccinations or the jabs. This was written in the summer of 2021. Number one, already developed natural immunity. Two, never saw the lipid nanoparticle delivery. Three, Japanese Pfizer data shows LNP is in the organs now. Four, vax makers are immune from liability. Number five, every previous mRNA vax has failed. Six, every previous coronavirus vax failed. Seven, Pfizer paid billions in criminal fines for data manipulation and fraud. Eight, Moderna has never gotten past the clinical trials. Nine, zero long-term data. 10, censorship of scientific criticism. 11, censorship of gain of function. 12, censorship of generic antivirals and anti-inflammatories and antibiotics, etc. 13, censorship of adverse reactions and deaths. 14, 99.95% survival if below 50. 15, inflated COVID-19 hospitalization and death numbers. 16, the virus will continue to mutate. 17, the vaccinated are still getting sick. 18, the vax clinical trial introduced subjectivity with selective PCR testing. 19, pandemic based on fraudulent use of PCR tests. 20, why are they ignoring our natural immunity? 21, adverse reactions among family and friends, folks, including sterilization and death, okay? And many illnesses that were not seen before in the family or in the individual. Now, folks, Republic Broadcasting is purely listener supported, and we get the support of some of our sponsors. We ask you please to patronize our sponsors, and please go to the website and find out what you can do to help donate to Republic Broadcasting Network. Many of us host out here. We do this. We're volunteers. We do the homework. We do the research. We try to put together a program. We are not here to entertain you, okay? I'm not asking you to pay me for entertaining you. I'm asking you to support Republic Broadcasting Network. And Mike's not asking me to do this or anybody else, because it is that way we continue to keep the updated state-of-the-art equipment to be able to bring you good, clear reception. So we're going to go to a station break here in just a moment, folks. But again, this is Maggie Rose. I am filling in for Jeffrey Bennett on Mondays and Fridays only. He's still with you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. I am here on Jeffrey Bennett's program, The Edge of Darkness. My name is Maggie Rose, and I thank you so much for listening. We're going to come back in another for another 30 minutes of the show.
A dollar, I don't know. Come about. You say my opinions are not fact. I want to ask you, is it opinion and is death in tax? A dollar in, a dollar out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214, or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan. Picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board.
Thank you, Mike. And thank you, folks. I hope you listen to the words of my mentor, Jeffrey Bennett. Jeffrey called me up not long ago after much discussion with people at RBN. And he knew that I had been doing radio off and on for the last 27 years myself. In fact, when I first got started doing radio, it was with Republic Radio International out of Battle Creek, Michigan, that was owned. Actually, Jeffrey Bennett is the one that started and help finance Republic Radio International out of Battle Creek, Michigan. And the two people working with Mr. Bennett were Mark Corky out of Dexter, Michigan, and John Stattmiller. May he rest in peace. John Stattmiller, who had this RBN before he passed away. So it was actually Jeffrey Bennett that worked really hard to make sure Republic Radio International was up and running. And that was where I cut my baby teeth in radio for the first time. It was interesting because when I first started doing radio, I had no way of knowing that my own mother back in the day, when I was a little tiny girl, had actually been doing radio herself out of Walnut Creek, California. She actually was part of a radio studio there in Walnut Creek, California, where she was interviewing people. So here's a mother that I thought had been an accomplished musician, a concert pianist, playing 2-3 instruments, a writer, a poet, an instructor, a teacher, raising 5 of us kids. For a period of time, she was even a single mother raising us by herself, and we were very poor and struggling. So, you know, I know what it's like to have very little to nothing. And I know what it's like to have grown up in a dysfunctional family, because before she ended up raising us on her own, we ended up having some situations in our family that were anything but stellar. And so, you know, when people seem to think that there's people out there that, you know, they have it so good, you really don't know where many of us came from and what kind of life experiences have led us on this journey we call life. So when I first started doing radio, I had actually called in to the radio studio, met with a gentleman who was the board engineer. His name was Paul Wright. He's now a talk show host out of somewhere in Texas. And he was the board engineer at the time, and told them, I said, you know what, I've got a TV satellite dish in my backyard and I can't seem to get any picture. And he said, that's because we're not TV, we're radio, and you're listening to live radio over your TV satellite dish. One thing came out after another, and Mark Corky ended up interviewing me and then brought me on the show as a guest. And the next thing you know, I had my own show, and I used to listen to Mr. Bennett and the way his demeanor and the way he presented things to his audience. And I was able to take away bits and pieces of his very professional way of handling things on radio. And so many years would go by. And every once in a while, we'd have contact with each other on social media or in emails. But we have never really been able to meet each other in person. But I really feel like he has been mentoring me for the better part of the last 27 years. And then when he found out that I just couldn't take where I was any longer when I was doing radio previously, I'd been there for 6 years, and there were just some things that basically violated the very principles and values and standards that Mr. Bennett and I hold near and dear, including how to be professional and professional etiquette on radio around your guests and around your listeners. And so I decided to not really fight it and not go anywhere else for a while. And so I quit doing radio April of this last year and decided to just kind of take a break and figure out where God wanted me to be. Well, Mr. Bennett contacted me and said, look, you know, I need a favor here. There's a lot going on, a lot on my plate right now. And would you like to temporarily guest host for me on Mondays and Fridays and do it for a month or two? And he said, you'd really be helping me out. You'd be helping Mike out. I don't have to then have, you know, a replaying of old shows, and people can have a fresh voice. So, of course, I said yes. I love this man, and he means a lot to me. And I really feel that it's important that people out there understand. Mr. Bennett and I and the other show host here, we are not here to entertain you. If you want entertainment, go turn on your TV or go to the movies or, you know, go to a play or something. We are here to educate you, hopefully to inspire you and to motivate you, to help yourself, your family, your friends, your community. This is about us rolling up our sleeves and putting the foot to the metal and doing what it takes to try to get back this country. Now, there's a guy who comes on here about this time in the evening. His name is James Kelso, and he has a program here on RBN. And I was listening to his show the other night, and I wanted to play a part of it because I think it's really important what James had to say about what is going on in this country and what is happening here. And we're in trouble, folks. You know, people still are saying, oh, the government would never let this happen to us. Well, they are doing it every day. And on Friday, I'm going to be bringing a guest up by the name of Chris Brumble. He lives in Northern Oregon on the Northwest. He's an Army veteran himself. He used to be part of Oath Keepers and was very supportive of some individuals in 3%. He's been very active in the Second Amendment arena. We all support Gun Owners of America. I will not support the NRA any longer. The NRA can go do whatever they want to do, but I will not support them. I support Gun Owners of America. And Chris Brumbles is coming up for an hour on our show this coming Friday, and he will be talking about the Second Amendment issues. He'll be educating some of you that have never heard about SASO, which is Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. That's Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance. He'll be talking about that. Safeco, and he'll be talking about what's happening with Measure 114, which we believe was illegal, pushed through. We do not believe all the voters were voting for this. It was a measure that was put forward by a bunch of progressive libtards in a church, a very liberal Antifa Black Lives Matter supporting progressive church in Portland, Oregon. And this 114 is so dangerous that people all across the country were telling us, if they get away with this, it's going to destroy our right to protect ourselves in this country. And I agree with them, because they don't just do one thing. They keep going until they basically chip away at us a little bit at a time. It's like the frog in the boiling water. You've all heard of that. So here's a little bit of James Kelso's show here on RBN.
Why are you driving our nation to the brink of World War III, of nuclear annihilation against a nation with 6,000 capable warheads mounted on intercontinental ballistic missiles and intercontinental bombers sitting in submarines all over the world, undetectable submarines and other forms, 6,000 nuclear devices exceeding the entire nuclear stockpile of the rest of the world combined. Why would you risk our children in a war against that? You people need to be in prison now. Not in political office. Everybody in the Biden administration, every damn one of them needs to be in prison. Every damn one of them is a traitor to America. Every top-level echelon person on the seventh floor of the FBI needs to be in prison for crimes against America, for treason against America. Everybody at the State Department, everybody at the Defense Department, accepting only people like Brigadier General Eric Vaught, who's a German. So we're not going to put him in prison, but his counterparts in America, Americans like Eric Vaught, who have the guts to speak out and say, hey, well, here, listen to him. Here's the end of what he said. He says, this senseless activism in German politics it's the campaign for war, must come to an end. Otherwise, we'll wake up one morning and find ourselves in the middle of World War III. That's General Erich Vaud, V-O-D. He is a brigadier general, but he was the chief military advisor, senior, top man in the military, to Angela Merkel from memory, it was something like 2008 to 2013, maybe 2000, yeah, 2008 to 2013. So he was of long duration. He was the top man in the chancellor's office in the military. Boy, do we need this guy back.
Now, folks, I spoke to 107 the other day, and 107 was trying to tell me a little bit about what was actually going on. And he said, we're actually right now in the middle of World War III that's actually been going on for a while now. My husband actually has that recording. I'll have to play it for you guys another day because it's on his phone. But 107 said that he believes that basically we started with World War III quite a few years ago, and that now we're going in what he considers to be World War IV. That's his personal feelings. Now, one of the other things I was going to, and I'll play that for you guys another time. So don't forget, this Friday, Chris Brumbles will be my guest here for an hour on Jeffrey Bennett's The Edge of Darkness. I received an email from my friend Jim Amott, who's up in the Dakotas. And he had written to my friends Cliven and Carol Bundy, who are the parents of Ammon Bundy. And they said, we have an update on Ammon. It's been posted on People's Rights as update number 2. And I guess the Bundys had also received an email from Shauna. You remember Shauna? She was one of those that was almost shot and murdered by the feds and the state troopers of Oregon when she was riding in the car with Robert Lavoie Finnegan. Shauna Cox is a very good personal friend of mine. And it said here, hi, Bundys, received an email from Shauna last night about Ammon. The evil ones and the powerful do not quit working. They have to keep trying to shut up the good ones who try to do the correct thing. Jim goes on to say, prayers are sent for Ammon Fund family and all of you. I told my wife, Mary Ellen, I would like to go out to be a body in support of Ammon. That will not be possible at this period of time. Thank God. God bless you all. And thanks for all you've done. So then she says, Carol writes back to him and says about her son, Ammon Bundy. Well, he's come to an agreement and hopefully the judge will accept it. The prosecutors have agreed. So fingers crossed. We're doing good here. We've had a lot of rain and the grass is starting to turn green. We do live in different worlds, don't we? We sure are blessed to have good friends like you. So she sent a link, which he sent to myself and others who are friends with Ammon Bundy, his parents, Cliven and Carol. And this was what Ammon wrote the other day. If you remember, they had kidnapped a baby, and they were trying to bring some criminal case against the baby's parents, baby Cyrus. So this is what Ammon wrote. He said, update, I made a peace offering. Let's see if they'll take it. Yesterday, while I was out, two people came to the front door of my home and served my family with more legal papers from St. Luke's Hospital. The amount of the mail and people serving legal papers, whether it be private servers or sheriff deputies, coming to our home and mailbox is becoming extremely harassing. We are receiving typically at least a ream-sized amount of papers weekly, sometimes more. St. Luke's CEO, Chris Roth, has authorized undefined amounts of funds to the Holland and Hart law firm to overwhelm the court with legal filings, motions, and injunctions seeking to ruin what finances and reputation I have left with Diego too. There's simply no way I can respond to all the court filings or legal action from St. Luke's. I was told by an Idaho law firm that it would take at least 3 full-time attorneys to respond to Holland and Hart's court filings in this case. I am certain St. Luke's Hospital here in Idaho must have already accrued hundreds of thousands in attorney's fees to pay for such legal assault. Holland and Hart attorneys are not cheap. If I was to try and respond to every legal document sent to me, it would have already cost me nearly $100,000 in legal fees, if not more. On top of that, I would be required to spend my entire life organizing a legal defense against St. Luke's. Now, folks, this has to do with St. Luke's upset because Ammon Bundy was taking a stand for the family regarding their baby being kidnapped. So you can go to peoplesrights.org or contact Ammon Bundy's site and find out more about the story. But he went on to say, St. Luke's is claiming to be a victim of mine for when I went to the Meridian Hospital demanding they give back baby Cyrus to his parents. See the details above. The civil case is a lawsuit against Diego, baby Cyrus's grandfather, and I for speaking out against the actions of St. Luke's employees, the Child Protective Services staff, and Meridian, Idaho police officers in taking baby Cyrus. In the criminal case, I've had no choice but to participate and show up to court to Judge McDivitt, who will send officers to kick in my door, terrorize my family again, and haul me off to jail, eventually pronouncing a sentence upon me. The civil case is different. I must bear the cost of legal defense if I choose to have one. And so then he goes on to kind of explain the whole situation. And this was all regarding the kidnapping of this baby. Under false pretenses, the baby was not in danger. The baby was not in physical danger whatsoever. The story goes on where he says the baby was suffering from silical, that means constant vomiting, syndrome, which is called CVS, and was misdiagnosed by St. Luke's Hospital. Being that I was so close to the family, he knew that the only food that baby Cyrus was keeping down was breast milk, and that many other things, such as being off of his eating schedule, would exacerbate, that means make worse, his vomiting, causing severe dehydration, along with other serious complications. Ammon explained that if Cyrus was to go to a foster parent, they, not knowing the seriousness of Cyrus's health, not having his mother's breast milk, not having the ability to hydrate him, and possibly not caring for him like his mother was, would have put baby Cyrus in imminent danger. Ammon also explained that he did not cause the circumstance at St. Luke's Hospital that night than anything he's accused of doing, much less harm than the danger Cyrus was in, and that he stopped Cyrus from going to the foster parents. The judge then questions Ammon if he could bring in a witness to present the evidence. Ammon replied that he had subpoenaed Dr. Rachel Thomas, the emergency room physician, that she would testify and would also have cross-examined Aaron Sanchez, the St. Luke's administrator, to bring in. Judge McDivitt said, so, quote, you hope he will testify to that and cross? Ammon said, yes. If he does not, then I will impeach him with the evidence from the ambulance records, the hospital records, and the Child Protective Service records. Chris Topmiller had no meaningful response, and the judge seemed satisfied that that defense could be used in trial. So here's Ammon Bundy trying to help these parents get their baby back who's been medically kidnapped under false pretenses, okay? And now the courts are wanting to go after Ammon Bundy. And you all know why. Because he was the spokesperson in the situation that happened out in Maurer Refuge many years ago, where the state troopers and mercenaries in Oregon and the FBI deliberately murdered Robert Lavoie Finnegan because Kate Brown, the governor, then said, you got to take the head off the snake. And they did an illegal ambush and an illegal stop at a blind man's curve coming around the corner. So now here Ammon is again stepping forward to defend due process, constitutional law, and the right to peace and liberty, and the right to have their own baby and to be able to make decisions for their baby, knowing that the baby has a diagnosis that is caused by something that was not done by their parents or Ammon, who stepped forward to try to help them get their baby back out of the hospital by pleading with the hospital to please give the baby back. Now, Ammon is facing up to $10,000 fine and 1 year in jail if he's convicted. Okay? So he's trying to be, as we say, a good Samaritan. And because of his name notoriety, they want to go after him. So a few other matters, such as having 50 to 65 people in the jury pool and the setting, he said, were discussed. At the end of the hearing, prosecutor Chris Topmiller asked if he could approach the judge. He and Ammon went up to the judge and discussed something with the judge without anyone else hearing. Ammon later said that if the prosecutor had offered him a settlement plea and the opportunity to avoid trial, and that the Chris was informing the judge of that settlement possibility. The hearing lasted about an hour and then was suddenly dismissed. Folks, this is retaliatory. This is something that happened to my husband not very long ago when we were trying to help a homeless man. And we're going to be taking that situation as well and dealing with that. When you try to stand up and be a good Samaritan, do the right thing, they want to come after you. and they want to retaliate against you. Emin Bundy himself has respectfully written saying, I'm seeking relief that my family and I may live in peace and not be harassed at your hands anymore. As much as it pains me to do so, it is my duty to plead my case to you and why I've acted the way I have over the past few years. I pray that you will understand my intentions and see how my actions have been based in love for God and my fellow man, including yourself. So, folks, we will have more on this in the weeks ahead once I find out what the disposition was today of the court hearing there in Idaho. Please pray for Ammon and his family. And know that this Friday we'll have Chris Brumbles coming up here on the Edge of Darkness with me to talk about Second Amendment issues. Again, folks, please, please do patronize the Republic Broadcasting Network and continue to help us stay on the air. We're not here to entertain. We're here to inspire, motivate you, and educate you. And please, please do your homework. Again, this is Maggie Rose, and we'll see you on Friday. God bless and good night.
Charity, charity is a coat you wear twice a year. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you'll find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed, the human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to war, there is no hope to speak out in the wounded skies above. Say it's much too late, then maybe we should all be praying for time.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.